السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی آر ڈسکسنگ دا اسٹیپس ان چوزنگ اے پائیس وائف. سو دا فرسٹ اسٹیپ وی ڈسکسڈ واز دیٹ وی مسٹ ریڈ ٹو رکعت صلاۃ الحاجت، میک دعا ٹو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ٹو گائیڈ اس ان اور ڈیسیشن، میک اس میک the right choice. The second point or the second advice is Allah Ta'ala places great consideration to good thoughts. Right? It is stated in the Hadith Sharif, Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. The meaning of that is that I am to my slave according to what he thinks of me. The person who thinks good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak is forgiving, Allah Pak is merciful, Allah Ta'ala will deal with him like that. And the person who has, you know, a picture that Allah Pak is tyrannical, Allah Pak just waits to seize, Allah Pak will deal with him in that manner. So that person who says that there's no good girls left now in the world, and you know, I don't think now I can get a good wife, then Allah Pak will deal with him that way. But that person who has hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you guide me and you bless me with a good wife, then there is nothing short in the treasures of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless him with a good wife. Right? So have a good opinion. Right? Have good and promising thoughts and hopes on Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will do likewise for us. You should have full hope that Allah Ta'ala will bless you with a good and pious wife, and that He will make the short and temporary life one of Jannah. Because if a person has a good partner, then his life in this world, you see, the dunya is a place of provisions. Right? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned ad-dunya mata'. Things make a person happy. He got a house, he got a motor car, he got a little bit of money, he got a few things that he requires, makes him happy. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the best of all these provisions is a pious wife. Person has got a pious wife, a wife who is good to him, understanding, caring. His whole life, even if he doesn't have much, he's not a very wealthy person or anything, but he's got a good wife who stands by him, his whole life becomes bliss. His whole life is like Jannat. Right? So this is the second point, that we must hold good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Pak will bless me with a good spouse, with a good wife. And if a person has a bad experience, a person has one bad experience, or a friend of yours has a bad experience, right? That now doesn't mean that everybody is going to have a bad experience. Sometime you got a friend, now that friend got married, and his wife really gave him hells, right? And eventually the marriage ended in divorce. In a short while now, marriage ended in divorce. Now you say to yourself, hey, you know what, I don't think I'm getting married, man. I don't need all these headaches here. These women of today, they're like this and they're like that. We cannot think that way. Because getting married is ibadat. Getting married is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something that we have been encouraged in our deen. So if one person had a bad experience, that doesn't mean everybody is going to have a bad experience. And even if a person has a bad experience one time, it doesn't mean second time around also he's going to have a bad experience. So many people were married first time, marriage never worked out, right? After that they got married for a second time. I know of one girl who was from our area, right? She got married first time, it was disastrous, right? Ended up in divorce. She was at home, she went through a depression and or of things. Eventually, she got proposed again, and this person was a learned person, come from a good home, etc. He was an alim. So he came and he proposed for her. Everybody was very happy, they got married. But from the beginning there was problems in the marriage. Eventually, in a short while, few months or something, that marriage also ended in divorce. She came back home, and from a good family, a good girl from a good family, she came back home. Now again all the negativity, again all the... And then after some time, another person was a businessman. He was married also before. His marriage never worked out, right? And then he heard about this girl, so he came, he proposed for her, and the both of them got married. And alhamdulillah, they're living very, very happily. They even had twins. They had one child, and after that they had twins, and now they're living so happily, they are happy. So in life, we have to keep on persevering. There's no such thing as losing hope in life. There's no such a thing as losing hope, right? So sometimes things don't work out. It doesn't mean now for everybody it's not going to work out. One person was telling me last night, he said, now I'm frightened to get my daughters married because you see what's happening today in the marriages. So I told him, I said, you see what's happening in businesses also today, why don't close your business also? You hear people, see, if somebody got held up going for Fajr Namaz, person was going for Fajr Namaz and he got held up, right? Now you hear the people talking, very dangerous man, I don't think we must go for Fajr now, very dangerous, I'll just read at home, we're living in a very dangerous area. But so many people get held up going to shop, they don't say, no, I don't think we must go to shop anymore now, very dangerous, we'd rather just sit on at home, plant some millies in the backyard and carry on eating. You don't say that. So this is all shaitani thoughts. These negative thoughts are all shaitani thoughts. Right? So this is the second point, that have good opinion and be hopeful. Right? The third thing is to make mashwara. Now there is something that I read here in this kitab which I myself didn't know. Right? I didn't realize this point of mashwara. I didn't realize the importance of it until I read here. Generally when a person is getting married, you always hear the youngsters talking, say, Moana, no, my parents are not too happy, but I made istikhara, my istikhara is positive. Right? But my parents are not too happy, but my istikhara is positive. Now what must I do now? Right? Now listen to this. I'm going to read it from the kitab. Right? You should make mashwara, you should consult with others. Our Sharia has placed great emphasis on making mashwara. Describing the qualities of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran Majid, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Their matters are decided by mutual consultation. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Their matters are decided by mutual consultation. In another place in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi, right? There is no human being greater than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is even the Imam of all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, right? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge is second only to Allah ta'ala, right? His knowledge is second only to Allah ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala is instructing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. That whenever any matter comes up, consult with the Sahaba. Make mashwara with them. Right? Then when you come to a decision, then trust in Allah Ta'ala and go ahead. But first make mashwara. Right? For this reason, now this is the point. The point I'm telling you, that I never realized, you know, this particular point here. For this reason, to make mashwara is more important and more beneficial than istikhara. Generally we have this mindset, no, I'm in istikhara, my istikhara is positive. Now my parents are saying like this and my granny is saying like that. But the mashwara is more important than the istikhara. The mashwara is more important than the istikhara. However, mashwara should only be made with those people who have proper knowledge and understanding regarding what you need to make mashwara about. For example, if you need to make mashwara about whether you must go for a bypass operation, then you can't be sitting with your granny and your mummy and your neighbor, because what do they understand about the seriousness of your heart, the condition of your heart, and whether you need to go for the op or not? They won't really understand. There you need to make mashwara with your surgeon, with your heart specialist, right? With somebody else who went through it. The mashwara will be made with them. But now when it comes to marriage, then you have to consult your family. You have to consult your father, your mother, your granny. They understand this thing of marriage. You have to consult with these people, right? In this regard, there are some pointers to keep in mind regarding the type of person you should consult with. Number one, the person should be pious. Because when a person is pious, the person will always keep Allah Pak in the front. Right? If a person is not pious, they say, no, you must get a wife who's a doctor so you can retire early. She can work and support you. You can drive us around the town. Right? That's their objective. Right? But you need a person who's pious. A person will keep Allah Pak in front when the person is giving you their opinion. Right? Second, the person must be intelligent. You can't make mashwara with a foolish person. Make mashwara with an intelligent person. Number three, the person must be experienced. So when you're making mashwara, you want to get married. You can't make mashwara with your friends who are not married. Or one, two friends you got, they just 1 year into marriage, 2 years into marriage. What do they really know? You have to make mashwara with experienced people. People who have went through life. They got their children married. They understand this whole concept. And number four, you only make mashwara with a person who can be a confidant. You don't make mashwara with people who are going to take your story in the whole town. Right? When you make mashwara with a person, it must be a person who can keep his mouth closed. Because your mashwara is a serious matter. Right? It's a serious matter. I remember before I got married, so somebody had told the family about a certain girl. Told the family about a certain girl who is of marriageable age. So now, you know, when you're young, you're nadan, you know, you're foolish, you're naive. So I started finding out now about this girl. So I said, now, who was in her class in school? So eventually I came to know who was in her class in school. So I went to ask that person. I said, you know what, man, I just want to find out from you about this girl. I'm interested in going to see this girl. So I asked him a few things about this girl. So he explained to me, very good girl, this way, that way. Now he went home and he told his parents and he told somebody else and he told somebody else. The story reached that girl's house. Right, that we already engaged. They were so upset. By the time my family phoned that house to ask them if we can come see that girl, they said, no, we don't want you to come see the girl. So this is what happens when you choose to make mashwara with somebody who cannot be a confidant. You want to make mashwara with people your age. Young people, they're naive. Most people, they like to be generous, but they never made the grade. Most people in the world, they like to be generous, but they never made the grade. So they like to get a story. As soon as they got a story, now they want to say, like, I know something that other people don't know. So it's like a chip on the shoulder. So now they have to spread the story. Everybody say, hey, this man is in the loop. This man is in the loop. He knows everything. Same thing happens with the sheikh and murids. Now the murid wants to find out something. Now he finds out one quarter story, half a story. And then now he must tell all the, Hazrat is going there, Hazrat is doing this, Hazrat is doing. So everybody say, this fellow is very close to the Hazrat. See, he knows everything. So that's why now and again, we do a disappearing act. Nobody knows nothing. Now, next day, those same fellows now, they're very upset. You didn't tell us you're going. You didn't tell us you're going. Our Hazrat used to also do this. In the haram, certain time, nobody knows where he is. So even the people who think they are in the loop and everything, their islatu gets made. Nobody knows where he is. Finish. So some people, they like this. So we mustn't make mashwara with the person who got that kind of habit. A person who can't keep his mouth closed, you don't make mashwara with a canary. Otherwise, something you're trying to discuss, everybody comes to know, and some the story also gets all turned and kachumbar and everything. Okay. Choosing a person with such qualities to make mashwara will be most beneficial for you in your matter. Similarly, you should also consult with the elders and pious in the family and inform them that you intend sending a proposal to a certain girl. It is also important to consult with the close family members of the girl. Because they will know the girl and they know you. They know you and they know the girl. Now if you know some family of hers and you consult with them, they will tell you whether she's your type or not. Not to say she's bad and not to say you bad. Right? But sometime you're just not the same type. So they will tell you, you know, you're wasting your time, man. This girl, we don't think you're a couch potato, right? You just like to sit around the house. And this girl, she likes to move it up everywhere. So you're all just going to be frustrated. It's not going to work out. Or you know what, she's very, very pious. She's very, very strict. And you only want to eat takeaway food. You're going to have a problem. She won't allow you. I'm just giving you simple examples. Okay, an important point to be taken into consideration by both parties is that it should not be that the boy is from a very rich family and the girl from a very poor background or vice versa. You see, generally, a person who is poor can slowly adapt to a wealthy life. It's easy. That part is easy. But for a wealthy person to come down, that's difficult. That's very hard. Right? That's one. The other thing is, even if the husband is wealthy, you see, always remember this. There's always exceptions to the rule. But the general rule is, you as a boy, as a man, you must try and find a girl who is slightly poorer than you. She's slightly poorer than you. Right? You mustn't go find a girl who is very much wealthier than you. You either find a girl who is on par or a girl who is slightly poorer than you. Right? I remember we had gone to see, and I had gone with my mother, my father, my granny. We went to see one girl somewhere in Gauteng province, right? So I was very happy with the girl. We went to see the girl, don't know her from anywhere. We went to just see her. So as we're driving back now, it's a long drive back from there. We're living in Pietermaritzburg. So we're talking in the car. So my mother and granny were not too happy. I was happy. My father was like on the fence, like, you know. So anyway, we're discussing now, they talking, whatever, we came back home. So you know, when you're that age, you get irritated and all very quick, you know, when you're young, you get angry. So I'm telling them, you know what, I'm tired of going to see girls. Every girl we go to see, you all got something, either the mother didn't wear something right or the father did something. I'm marrying the girl, not marrying the mother and the father, you know. I remember one house, I didn't go. I didn't go. Eventually, I got tired. I told him, see, y'all go. Y'all must see the girl. If y'all like the girl, then y'all tell me, then I'll go see. When you go see here, go see, then y'all don't like this one, don't like that one. So one house, they went to go see. I didn't go. So they came back. So I'm asking them, right, what happened there? So they say, no, man. No good. So what's not right? Say, oh, girl, everything is fine. The family is fine. But, you know, the mother, she had an oil stain on her scarf. Now, come on. What that got to do with proposing for a girl now? The mother got an oil stain on her scarf. Right? But it is only later that you realize the hikmat behind these things. You see, you got a certain... See, I walk in your room now, I can't take it. I can't take your rooms. Right? You come to my room, you come to my office, you go anywhere, you'll always find things all in its place. If something is crooked also, it irritates me. I can't, even if something is crooked, I can't take it. If I go to perform namaz, and if the kitab on the desk is crooked, I can't concentrate in the namaz. I must make that kitab. If I saw that kitab crooked, I need to make it straight first. Then I can read a namaz. Otherwise, I can't read a namaz. So that's my tabiat. Right? Now this family knows you're coming to see a girl in that family. They are supposed to be on best behavior. Now in their best, they still got stained clothes. So what will be after that? Not to say they're bad people. Not saying they're bad. But my family knows my tabiat. They know my tabiat. Now they know that if this girl's tabiat is not like that, now you're going to be on loggerheads every day. Because if somebody is untidy, they're untidy. What are you going to do? Somebody is just untidy. It takes a lot to make them tidy. So you're going to be at loggerheads all the time. So you have to allow for these elder people to guide you. Right? So here, I was telling you all about this situation. We went to Gauteng province. That time it wasn't called Gauteng province. So anyway, we came back. So I'm telling the family, I say, you know what, I'm not going to see now. You all must go and see. When you all find somebody you all like, you all let me know, then I'll go see. If I like, then it's fine. If I don't like, carry on looking now. So the next morning, my father called me. It's a man with a lot of wisdom, my father. He said, "Bhai, you interested in this girl?" So I told him, "No, Papa, I think she's a good girl, you know. From what I spoke to her, from what I saw, the house, everything, I think it's a good girl." So he said to me, "Look, Bhai, I also feel it's a good girl. There's nothing wrong with her. There's only one problem." He says, "See, this girl comes from an extremely wealthy background." Because they were very rich people. "So this girl is from an extremely wealthy background." And I remember the words of my father. He said, "Bhai, what you will regard to be luxuries, she will regard to be necessities." So what you will regard to be luxuries, she will regard to be necessities. Because she's used to that lifestyle. Now for her to go into cliques and spend 1,000 rand on cosmetics, it's no big deal. Right? Because she's used to that lifestyle. Now to you, it's going to be like, hey, money don't grow on trees. Then she'll tell you, no, my father gave me. Then what you going to do? It become a problem. You'll always be frustrated. You'll always be at loggerheads. Right? You cannot keep up to the standards of that family. Now they decide they want to go for Umrah. Now they booking in 5-star hotel. You cannot afford that. Now you feel inferior all the time. And then you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be at loggerheads. Right? So the financial standing of the husband and wife is very important. You must always look for a wife who is slightly poorer than you are. So what will happen is when you marry her, she will appreciate what you can give her. Because she didn't have that in her home. She didn't have that much also in her house. Right? For example, just a simple example. Maybe she was driving around in a Tata. Right? Now you brought her to your house and you're driving in a Toyota Corolla. So it took a step up, like, you know. So she will appreciate you for what you can give her. She will appreciate you. Right? But if you marry a girl that is coming from a very wealthy background, now when she comes to your house, you're doing your best, you're giving her everything, whatever you got. But it's nowhere near to what she's accustomed to. Understand? And at the same time, if you are extremely wealthy, you must find a girl in your category. Don't go and find a girl who is very poor. Why? Wealthy people live a different life. Poor people live a different life. Sometimes this poor person cannot fit into that life. She cannot fit into that wealthy type of living. She can't take it. She can't fit into that family. Then she feels inferior all the time. And sometimes the woman in your family also will make her feel inferior. So must always try and find somebody that is on par, or better still, somebody who's little poorer than what you are, for want of a better word, but somebody who's of a little less, you know, has little bit less compared to what you have. Then you will be able to impress her. She'll be impressed by what you can give her. Otherwise she'll be suppressed. And then both of you will be depressed. Right? And then you all will come and make the Moranas feel oppressed. Because all the time you'll be phoning the Moni Sahab, Morana, we need help, we need help. The compatibility between the spouses is extremely important. It is important for the boy's family to consider the girl's upbringing, her mother, her sisters, etc. After you have considered and made proper mashwara with relevant members of the family, you should make dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to guide you to make the right decision. Once you have thought the matter out properly, after placing all the facts in front of you, you should exercise one of your options. If Allah Ta'ala wills, then certainly there will be goodness in your decision. The dua for mashwara is, Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa a'izni min sharri nafsi. O Allah, guide me to what is right and save me from the evil of my nafs. Allah Ta'ala yubastawfik.